Everybody, thanks for joining us for another episode of The Baptist Bias. I'm really excited about our show this evening. We're going to be talking about feminism. We've got a special guest, Elijah Schaefer from Slightly Offensive, is going to be joining us. Before we get started, though, we're going to get kicked off with our Benelog.
All across this country, women are being held down by a patriarchal system designed to enslave females against their will. The obvious solution is a cultural revolution focused on feminine needs, wants, and desires, namely feminism. Nothing could be more freeing than kicking off the shackles of a husband and getting up early, putting on that name badge, driving into work, and showing up to that morning meeting ready to do whatever your boss tells you. Oppression has been destroyed. Simply throw off the shackles of your misogynistic, overbearing, red-pilled husband and march right on to work for your sympathetic, understanding, and caring boss. What victory. I can't even imagine a world, in fact, where women would take orders from men. Except, of course, when flight attendants obey the pilot, and secretaries obey their boss, and teachers obey their principal, when waitresses get everything their customers want, nurses, when they tend to every need of their client, when maids clean up every mess. But my point is, it's beyond cringe to think of a society that would make women answer to men. Without women in the workplace, the world would obviously collapse. We'd have less adultery, less complaining, less accidents, higher standards, no maternity breaks, no need for HR. And everyone knows our society couldn't possibly function without those things. Really, it would destroy all the obvious contributions that women in the workforce bring to the table if they left it. I mean, think about this. If you were in the middle of a bank robbery, all right, would you want a bunch of heavily armed, young, strong, red meat-eating chads to bring their hammer down on a bunch of thugs, or a small flock of compassionate, eco-friendly, progressive feminists to talk down the poor victims of systemic racism? It's obvious which one of those scenarios would turn into a bloodbath. Look, I just don't want you to get confused into thinking that women would actually enjoy not having a job, staying home, having children, cooking, cleaning, shopping, going to church, and following their husband's vision for the family. Only radicals would live that way, and it's obvious they have the Baptist bias. Go.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us again for The Baptist Bias. I'm your host, Pastor Shelley. I'm here with my co-host, Ben the Baptist. Want to say hi to everybody.
Excited to be here. Thanks for having me on. It's going to be a great show tonight. We've got Elijah Schaefer. We're talking about feminism. It could be triggering to those of you out there who have an unnatural hair color that are women and the effeminate, limp-wristed male feminists out there who are hate-watching the show. But we don't care. Go get a tissue. Cry about it. Doesn't matter to us. I'm looking forward to the show.
So we'll go ahead and introduce and bring on our guest. We have Elijah Schaefer from Slightly Offensive. Can you hear us all right?
Yeah, I can. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, sounds good. So thanks so much for joining us. Now,
I'm happy. I was going to say real fast. I'm very happy to be here because I did watch some of your other content, and I feel like there's not enough genuinely conservative, biblically based men who are not trying to be influencers and are not trying to be like famous, but they're trying to give a biblical worldview first and then not worried about how it's received, because it's usually the other way around. So like, I checked you guys out before I came on here, and I got to say I was impressed, and I'm very grateful to be on the show with you guys.
Well, thanks for the compliment. And I know that you like to always start off your show with some high energy. So we figured would do the same and we would get down.
Oh, let's do it. Oh, yeah. You know what? Is this the same music from the show?
It is.
We ripped it.
Baptist water.
Maybe we get some confetti going.
But you have to, if you're white, it's part of the being white mode. It's like, you have to do like the worst dance moves ever. You know what I mean? If you don't have bad white dancing, are you really white? That's the question. Because white people used to dance well when the cocaine was good in the 70s, but
now it's
then we all stopped. Now we just dance like this, you know? We just
nice.
Dance like
yeah.
On the streets of Philadelphia.
I kind of just do a little bit of Will Ferrell head bop. Well, we just figured we'd have a little bit of fun.
Yeah, I loved it, man. I'm feeling pumped, dude. No, I am. I didn't want to bring too much energy. I didn't want to get too hyped for the show, because you guys seemed like you were like, hey, let's be intellectual. Let's talk about this. But thanks for bringing me on for a topic that I love. So let's do it.
Yeah, I've seen you have a lot of different clips and a lot of different shows where you've really covered this topic. But I want to play a clip that Ben kind of made for us here. Clip number one, it's just a collage here. I haven't even seen it, so I don't know what I'm getting into. But we're going to play a little bit of feminism here and see what's going on.
Cringe.
Ugh. I'm so sick of talking about men. Ugh, I have a male baby, and it's just all the time, it's feed me, pay me attention to me, engage me. Ugh, so boring. Men, 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 men. It's always about men.
So if you're listening on podcast, deranged feminists banging on the doors of the Supreme Court when Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed. Screaming. She's consoling the redhead there.
Shame, 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 shame,
shame. Ripping apart a sign.
I'm not done yet.
There it was. There I was thinking it was just me that had a problem, but it turns out it's the air conditioning that's sexist.
I know. So many women in our office have the exact same problem. You know, we just sit there absolutely freezing at our desks trying to type. You can probably tell I've got a cold right now, which I blame all on the AC. And so it's just so actually quite nice to see this research. It's just such a relief to know that there's actually proof that this is happening, that women, you know, do feel the cold more than men.
Retrieving my very soul from inside your stomach. I am raw meat in a slaughterhouse packaged according to what you are hungry for that day.
You haven't seen anything yet. Oh, there's more.
I don't know. This is killing my eardrums. Let's just kill the clip. It's so cringe. I mean, if that doesn't make you want to get married, I don't know what will.
Yeah, sadly, there are some men who are aroused by that stuff, and I have been. I don't understand. You know, I think I would call that like the opposite of erectile dysfunction pills. Like, I don't know what's a good erect. Like, I don't know what it is, but it makes me want to not be around women. It makes me want to go to an island and just bury myself in sand, because it's like, because if you're actually married and if you've been around females and you know what a good one is, and you really know what a bad one is, dude, you can't pay me enough money to spend time with these people. They're absolutely insufferable.
Well, it was kind of funny, because I think we talked about it one time. We were like, would you rather be MGTOW for the rest of your life or have to marry one of these crazy lunatic feminists? What do you go on that?
Of course, like, pornography and masturbation is a sin. It's like, what's worse, that or murder and self-suicide combo? Because I feel like, you know, on one hand, it's going to be hard if you withhold yourself from a woman, but like, don't kill them either. So I honestly, it's that's my case. I don't think I could survive more than like 3 weeks with a woman like that in my house. It wouldn't be a nice place to live. Like, it's just. When females are living outside of their role, just like men living outside of their roles, it makes for an extremely incompatible existence, right? Like I don't even want oxygen in my lungs anymore. So I guess I'll move to Canada and just do a death pod.
Well, according to the Bible, you'd be willing to go to the wilderness because it's just like, man, they're so cringe. Well, we have another clip here, and I wanted to get your thoughts on. I want to play clip 3 here for a second, but this is, someone kind of going the antithesis here of feminism. And you know, Pearl, she is kind of like an antithesis of feminism in my mind. And, you know, I don't know what I think about this clip, but I just kind of want to get your thoughts. She kind of went on this rant about how men are just better than women at everything. And we'll just hear from her. Let's play the clip.
All right, guys. So I have spent the last couple weeks genuinely trying to think of something that women are better at. And this didn't come out of malicious intent. This didn't come out of trying to put women down or whatever. Genuinely, I was just looking at some numbers. I'm like, what are women better at? Well, the premise is women are more caring and nurturing. Well, if so, why are we more likely to kill infants and elders? Wouldn't the most caring and nurturing gender? So then I was like, okay, I guess that number doesn't make sense. So then I start asking myself, what about teaching? Women are better teachers. Turns out we have ruined the education system. Two women cannot teach as effectively as one man. Okay, we're not better teachers. All right. Chefs, we're the cooks, right? Women are better cooks. Wrong. All the top Michelin chefs are men. Then I was like, okay, what about, aren't there more female doctors? No. If you look at the top doctors in like surgery and all the advancements in the field, it's all run by men. Then I was like, well, aren't women out earning men in cities? Yes, but it's usually in industries that are subsidized or by beauty, and men still pay 80% of the taxes, 70 to 80% of the taxes. So then I'm thinking, all right, women have to be better at something. Okay, I guess we're not more nurturing. We're better parents, right? We have to be better parents. Well, it looks like single mother homes are the root of basically everything wrong with society. They're more likely to go to homeless. The kids are more likely to be homeless. Mental institution, I mean, you name it. We suck at raising kids by ourselves. And what I realized is women can only be, the best version of ourselves under the authority of a guy. Whether if it's at work, it's in a company they built. If it's at home, it's under the authority of male headship of the household. If it's in society, well, it's really only under guys' authority. So I've sort of concluded that men are just superior beings. I don't say this to be mean. I don't say every single man. But I will say that I can't think of one thing that women are better at that numbers back up. But I don't know, maybe I'm just an old sexist. So let me know in the comments. Like the video, guys. I'll talk to you.
So that was kind of a longer clip. But and I like Pearl. I like a lot of things that she says. But I'm curious, are men just superior beings?
Well, of course. No, I think it's like we can just end the podcast just asking that question.
Yeah,
yes.
There you go.
I think it's not to get too intellectual here, but it's mind-blowing to people to watch this clip and try to process what she's saying. But it shouldn't surprise you because we're also in a culture where I have people show up on my X feed, which is formerly Twitter, who are 28-year-old men with breast implants still just trying to like explain to people their gender. You know what I mean? Like we're in a situation where grown adults are like arguing about rudimentary things and making simple things complicated. Like, are men superior? I don't think that's the correct even like phrase, right? I think her phrase on the authority though is correct, because superior would mean that we're competing. So then we are above them in the competition. But I feel like the main problem with feminism has been the competitive pitting of men against women. And that to me is where the disaster started. So like, while I love her, she's not a Christian, I don't think. I don't think she has like a biblical worldview. I don't think she is, but I hear what she's saying. She's coming from like an anti-feminist perspective. So she's coming with the assumption of like, well, we do compete. So on a competitive level, if you believe feminist worldview, then she's 100% correct. Men are superior. That's why feminists make me laugh. Because if you compete men against women, we're 100% superior. They have childbearing. Yeah, they have homemaking, et cetera, et cetera. But you show me a home decorated by a woman and a home decorated by a gay man, still kind of superior there. I'd say the gay men are somewhat better at decorating because they have a lot of these architectural gay guys on HDTV or whatever are incredible at decorating a home. So, and now they're breastfeeding babies. So I don't want to get into that, but I'm just saying like that's what you have to accept to believe women are better than men, is that we're competing. And if you do accept that, you know, pretense, then they lose in almost every single round. And that's why God literally created us as complements. Because in a competition, it's just not fair.
Yeah, and that's a good point. For me, what I really liked about Pearl is I have a guy on my crew that he always loves to tell everybody how men are better than women at literally everything. And I always joke that there's not a girl out there that he could ever date. And then I found Pearl, and I was like, well, if you go on a date and she just tells you you're a superior being, maybe that's the match you got.
That's like a match made in heaven right there.
Yeah, exactly. But I do want to play a clip based on what you said, clip 4. Because, you know, even the military has gotten so extreme on this point. And I get where Pearl's coming from, because I think if you put it in the context of a physical competition, men are superior beings. But I wouldn't agree with that as just an overall statement. They're equal in value. Obviously, in a physical competition, though, there's no even chance. And in the Marine Corps, they're letting women compete against men. And let's just look at the results here.
Once again, to prove that there is no difference between biological females and biological males, we see this female Marine against this male Marine, and watch how it is a completely fair and equal battle.
Wow.
You see? See? Exact same.
I like the commentary on that. The commentary ridiculous. Put it over the top for me.
I mean, the guy just like destroyed her. Which it's kind of sad to laugh at that, but it's like, you know, that's the logical conclusion that we get to. And we even have people arguing this in our government. Let's play clip 5, if we can get that, with Benny Johnson. He has a short here about people just spouting this nonsense in our government. Go ahead and play that clip.
Along with these people.
How many female members of the NBA do you see?
Well, I can say that, you know, there's been this news article about men that think that they could beat Serena Williams in tennis, right? That they think that they could actually score a point on her. And it's just not the case. She is stronger than that.
What's your experience been, male, female?
Both Serena and Venus lost to the 203rd ranked male tennis player, which they're phenoms for women.
Somebody got a body bag?
I kind of like Benny. I don't know where he's coming from on things, but that it's just
a childhood
crazy.
Friend of mine, by the way. Do you know?
Oh, really?
We grew up together. Yeah,
I have
in LA.
No idea.
He's a friend of mine from when I was a kid. That's what's so weird. One time I saw him years ago at like a political conference, and I was like, Benny Johnson from childhood. He's like, hey, and I was like, huh, weird how we got it. Both got into this homeschool kids or whatever. Weird.
Yeah, he's got such a just like generic name, Benny Johnson. But it's just so funny that it's so funny that these people are just like literally advocating that women are literally better than men at anything, to the point where you then have like the antithesis of someone like Pearl, you know, having to say, look, literally women just aren't even better at absolutely any competition or physical event or something like that. Now, I think that, you know, in some regards, when she says some things about the abortion statistics, like it is true that women will vote more for like pro-abortion than men would. But at the same time, I think it's unfair to categorize all women as just like these creatures that would kill their children. Because like my wife, I think that she loves our children way more than I do and would be way less likely to do any harm or injury to them than I would. So it's not fair in my mind to categorize all women as being these rabid psychos who would murder their children more than a man would. I mean, what about your experience?
Well, I think that this is a really interesting topic that I'm really glad we get to discuss, because something that I see people doing specifically on the conservative right, which is like neoliberal feminism light, right? That's what the right wing means now. It's that you're just a little bit less progressive, right, and you want to restore America back to 2010. You know, back to our great historical
or 2018.
Pride of 2000. Yeah, or 20. Yeah, exactly. So you know, one of the things that I'll make a case for is how important female virginity is. And the majority of women today, young women, are whores, according to traditional standards. I think I was reading that, you know, it's less than 5% of women after college still retain their virginity. And that's not even accounting for looks, okay? So we're not even accounting for – those could just be – ugly women who are going to have a hard time getting married. But it's looking like, when I look at stats, there's been no blind study on looks. Any girl that's like a four or up in terms of male attraction, AKA the would or wouldn't, if you would, the likelihood of them being a virgin after college is near 0%. And that's a really important understanding of like, well, then is what's different about women today? I guess the main thing that's different about them is not their rights. It's their lack of virginity. And virginity is such an important factor for women, because women have a purity sense. And I think that I compare women's virginity, and this is a little bit weird to some people, to like a child's purity, right? One of the things that we hate the most in society are child sex abusers, right? We hate child sex abusers.
Amen.
If you go on the internet, there's like one thing that I would think people could agree to, and that was, you know, the punishment should be harsher. And the reason why we have that is, you notice all these like gay, liberal, single people with no children are the ones advocating for MAPS, minor attracted people, towards love is love, towards like, you know, reducing the age of consent. Why? Because they don't have kids. And you don't really, I mean, you do understand children's purity if you're a normal person, but you really understand how important their purity is when you have your own kids, because you look at them and you go, oh my gosh, this is a being that has not been tainted by the world, that has not been decimated. My son has not seen pornography. He is not chasing after hoes, and I need to protect this, or my daughter, right? Now, we know the children's purity is intact, but I always say that the interesting thing about women, like you said, where they're not all rabid whores or they're not all like feminists, it's true. But here's where most of them are like that, and why they should be treated like that, and where we're wrong as a society, is I think that the... Like, and I need to be careful how I word this, but I think that it's really weird when you look at the argument over age of consent in the West, on both sides. And what I found at the argument of age of consent, meaning age of adults being able to relegate in consensual sexual activities, really is an argument of when someone can start being a whore. I'm not joking. I watch this. It's like people will argue, you know, there's some countries that have younger ages, like 15, 16, or 17. So a lot of countries are 18. That's what I'm accustomed to in California. But if you look at what people are really arguing, it's like, when is a woman old enough to start whoring herself out to men? And you look at the context of their arguments, and it's like, for me, then, if that's the argument of age of consent, then I say, then my daughter is not ready to have sex even at 24, at 25, because I'm not going to argue about when my daughter's ready to start being a whore. I'd rather have my daughter retain her virginity until she's ready to get married, because at a point when a woman starts to become a whore, there's no age for that. Like, it's not the younger people arguing 16 or 17 or the people arguing 18 or 19. Shoot, if you're 30 and you're a woman, that's not the time to start being a whore. It's just not the time. There's no time, because there's something important about not engaging in that. And when women don't engage in whoredom, when women don't allow themselves to do that, it's important to realize that there is a broken factor to when you are a whore. And the God even instilled that with the hymen, with something that literally, there's a barrier of flesh, just like the men have foreskin or there's different things. There's a barrier of flesh that literally signifies the changing of a girl to a woman, or from, like the Bible says, don't awaken love before it's time. So the whole context and arguments about women's liberty and when they can become, like you guys mentioned earlier, subsidiary women to men in the corporate workplace and rabid whores, I hate that argument. I reject that argument. And I want to have an argument of, you know, what is the purpose of sex? What is the purpose of females? What is their role? And the role is to be wives and to be in the home and to take care of the family. And no, that doesn't mean they can't run a candle company on Etsy. It doesn't mean they can't do part-time secretarial work if the family needs money. It doesn't even mean they can't work full-time if you're in a financial crisis or the husband's disabled. God is a God of understanding, but we don't run our lives like Jesus said with the Sabbath. You know, he gave an exception, like if your beast falls into a pit, would you not help it out on the Sabbath? Yeah, but you don't intentionally throw your beast into the pit to help it out on the Sabbath. You don't live your life based on exceptions. You try [S2] Right. [S1] To apply your life to the rule. So I'll conclude on this, though, you know, so I don't take up any more time here. I just don't want people taking this out of context. And so whenever you're talking about consent and stuff, you have to be very thorough so people don't misconstrue what you're saying. My idea of like not all women are like this is why we need to really promote virginity in females. Yes, sanctity, chastity in men too. Okay, like people always go, like I'm talking about on the right wing, like, oh, so men's virginity isn't important? No, it is. It's just not the same importance. It doesn't have the same value just because we're not competing. Men and women's virginity are different. Okay, they are. And because men masturbate commonly, it's very common, and they're not in love with their hands, okay? And this is like Pamela Anderson, right? You're not going to marry her. This is not, it's not promoting masturbation. I'm just saying men's sexuality is wired differently. And we have to understand that and accept that and work at all costs to prevent women from ever thinking that they're at an age to become whores. And I feel like that's the whole problem with feminism. It's let's 18 is a woman's age to become the whore she was designed to be, that's working a job that she hates for less money than is needed. And then that's the value of a woman, is that she's working, she's an economic unit, and that she's able to freely express herself sexually. And I reject the entirety of that argument and say a woman's value is nothing to do with sexual liberty. It has nothing to do with her economic output, and it has nothing to do with her liberty to freely express herself under foreign men's authority. It's quite the opposite. I mean, maybe it's extreme for some people, but I just feel like the argument is incorrect. We're arguing whether we should have less feminism or more, and then I reject the argument entirely.
Well, I like some of the points you made, and you know, you brought up even the fact that the woman has a hymen, and the Bible does give allusion to that because it's the token of her virginity. And, you know, even secular science and just even personal anecdotes will tell you that a woman who only has one partner is just going to naturally be way more loyal to whoever she is with for the first time. And there's that stigma that I think Hollywood and a lot of the media want to try and put out there about, oh, virgins are the worst because they're so clingy afterwards. And they make it seem like that's bad, like it's bad that she's clingy. But every man that wants a wife, he wants her to be loyal and cling unto him. And the Bible even uses that language about how the husband and the wife are to leave father and mother and cleave one to another. And so I think it's really important that we don't destroy the woman's natural emotions and natural affection by allowing her to be a whore. You know, even myself included, I have a few daughters already. Now, they're very young. But I don't even want to let them go into college and go out in the world. I mean, I think they should always be chaperoned just to not allow, you know, them to get destroyed by, you know, men that are obviously having bad intentions for my daughters. And so I think, you know, from a biblical perspective, it was always the men's fault when women are out there being promiscuous, essentially going out and committing feminism. And I think even today, it's not really the women's fault. They're just not being reined in. We don't have any men that are willing to keep their daughters virgins and allowing women to basically run rampant because they're just interested in whoredom. You know, they've allowed whoredom to cause the land to fall. What has your assessment been on this?
Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 that the head of the woman is the man. And when they don't have that head, they don't have that authority structure over them, that's where you start to see them decay. And it's visual. You brought up your daughters not going to college. Well, I've seen a visual decay in women because I used to go to a college in Florida, and I saw a visual decay in women who came into college one semester looking completely normal and feminine, and a few months later in the next semester, short dyke haircut, looking just awful, looking like a dude on meth or something. Like, it's just terrible. When they get infected with the disease of feminism, and that most often occurs in those post-secondary institutions. And so I would say it's obviously the right decision to shelter your daughters, and women are in need of that authority structure. The reason why we're seeing feminism be so pervasive in our society is because that authority structure has been lost. The men aren't men anymore.
You know, what's interesting, I never thought about that until you said this, but I went to college too, and you could always tell the difference between a freshman or a first semester freshman girl and anyone past that, because all the freshman girls, they came to college classes looking very pretty, dressed really nice, wearing makeup. And then all of the girls that were sophomores, juniors, and seniors, they're wearing sweatpants and a t-shirt. Like, they, you can tell that they just, like, don't care anymore. Like, they've just totally, and it's almost like you could almost see, like, maybe they've been defiled or they've been just, like, destroyed somehow, and they just don't even, like, care anymore. And it's just kind of sad.
A lot of them didn't care. Yeah. And it's because they're wasting away their prime years sitting in a college class they couldn't possibly care less about, instead of getting married, having kids, guiding the house, and submitting to a godly husband.
Now,
of course,
I know
they don't care.
I know you recently had your first child, and I think I watched a show where maybe I heard you say something about, like, you don't even let your wife get on, like, social media and stuff without you kind of, you know, paying attention. I was just kind of curious how you even came to that conclusion.
Well, okay, so it's unironically, is I met my wife through social media. I met her on Instagram, and she was actually running something for Stefan Molyneux and Lauren Southern out in Australia. And she jumped into a crowd of Antifa, and they started, like, sticker attacking her, which is something they did out here because they prosecute violence. Because this is a country where you still can't be violent to people and get away with it, unlike the U.S., which is why they have 87% less violence here. By the way, I want to remind you that the U.S. could be less violent if they actually prosecuted it. People would stop doing it anyway. You know, I saw her there, and man, I there is a bit of falling in love. I just see this girl, and I thought she was super cute. I was like, wow, I really like her. I love her accent. And man, when I started talking to her, the moment she told me she was a virgin, we were married within 6 months. So, like, that's the guy who was just like, all right, we're doing it. I'm, like, marrying this girl because I have not met a virgin in the U.S. You know, that's even semblance of attractive, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's probably the sad part.
They're ugly. Dude, let's just be honest here. Like, that's the problem. Everyone's like, oh, meet a nice girl at church. Church girls, stop being fat and ugly. Like, that's my best advice. Because men are sexual, and we want to be aroused. And it's like, you don't need to be Angelina Jolie and put filler in your lips and, you know, Botox and stuff and hair extensions.
Right.
You don't have to be and look like you're a slut or you're looking for sex. You know, there are beautiful dresses that, you know, if you're thin as a woman, a lot of men, that's enough. Like, just a shapely body is enough. Even if you're a homely looking face, a lot of men are going to be okay because they value your virginity. They value that. Luckily, my wife was actually smoking hot, and I love her so much. Anyway, through the years, one thing I noticed that whores hate the most and feminists hate the most is women who are not whores and feminists.
Yeah.
And a lot of people's hatred of me has come from their hatred of my wife. And I've noticed that people would attack her more than they would attack me. And they would always come for us. Like, they never came for my views. They would never come for anything. There's just always personal attacks and fights and things. And I noticed that, like, women we are around, or people like in the Democrats or something like that, or like political figures would share pictures of her and be like, this woman's like in slavery and, you know, all this crazy stuff. And people would just like send her dick pics and just like rape porn and horrible, horrible stuff. And so, you know, and then so we had a mutual conversation. I said, there is no reason as a woman that, like, your mind should be off anything other than your family and, like, your home and your marriage. Like, why should you be concerned about, like, these brutish things? Why should you even know what rape porn is? You shouldn't even know what that is. You're a female. This is like, I don't even want to know what that is, but I'm a man. I can handle it. And, you know, and I said, like, well, we looked at the net positives and the net negatives. So she stopped posting stuff, and then she's actually on her own found it to be so beneficial, and she started dressing more feminine. She deleted any pictures of herself in a bikini or anything. She started buying, like, it was just natural. I didn't even push her. She started buying, like, beautiful, like, hand-woven skirts and sexy still. Girls, there's a way to be modest, but sexy for your husband, you know, but right. like not to the world. And she just started taking on these, like, she became so much more positive and emotionally stable when she stopped interacting with people on the internet and stopped posting so many pictures and getting outward validation, that she's decided to pull back. And now she's, it's her own choice completely. She went further than we even discussed. I didn't tell you that I asked. We discussed it and we came to an agreement that this was where it was, the best place. But she went further because she found it was so helpful that now she wants to start something, you know, for moms and mothers. And she told me, like, you know, I want to start something, but I'm going to let you know if only women can join. Like, I want to create a private server and this stuff, and I want to connect with women, share recipes. She has this whole thing. She's starting with her mom. She's like, and I want to do it with my mom, so I have an older, wiser woman, and that we, like, both have access to the community. And she said, like, I don't think women should be interacting with men on the internet. Like, I just don't think it's appropriate, and I don't think that it's beneficial to them. You know, if they want to go on Facebook and message their mom, I mean, that's not weird, right? But it's when you right. start reading the timeline and you start getting involved and you add friends from high school and they're 28 and whoring themselves out, and you start feeling jealous because they look like they're having fun. And, you know, I mean, that's basically where it's come to. So we found that as a net positive. And I'll just say for men, too, if we spent less time on social media, we'd probably be happier as well. Unless your job is social media, then you're right. kind of in a catch 22. But whatever.
Yeah, I remember I, like, deleted my Facebook for a long time, but then I got, like, a marketing, like, email job. I was, like, a software developer for a company, and they, like, wanted me to promote everything on social media, so it kind of, like, got me back in. And then I end up – I kind of, like, have, like, a love-hate relationship with social media, because it's, like, you know, I love the memes, and I love, you know, a lot of videos and stuff like that. But at the same time, it's just that it's where they just surprise you. Like, with that gross, disgusting stuff that you weren't expecting, and you're just, like, really taken aback. And, I mean,
the stuff I share?
Well, mostly you, but, yeah, and definitely pictures of your face. But, I mean, it's just... Yeah.
You're like, oh, it's a new profile picture.
Right.
Baby, yeah. I got to get off this.
But, I mean, I've even had my wife, like, unfortunately, because we got so much negative attention a few different times, like, they're emailing her all these things, like, hey... We'll help you escape your husband, and, you know, just send in all kinds of weird emails and stuff. But fortunately, Facebook just labeled me and my wife terrorists. So we didn't have a choice. We just got nuked from it or whatever. But,
well, they can't fathom the idea that a woman's actually happy in a conservative, traditional, biblical marriage.
Right.
And so that's why they send her those messages.
Yeah, they're always like, we know you're so unhappy and you must hate your life. And, you know, we're here. We love you. We want to rescue you and all this nonsense and everything like that. But my wife, she only likes social media to, like, talk to, you know, like you said, her mom or friends and homeschool like groups and stuff where she can buy homeschool curriculum and, like, kind of, some of those things are pretty beneficial, but, like, just the vast majority of social media is just so – it's just kind of trashy.
And well, it feeds narcissism as well for a lot of women who might have that issue. You know, when you talk about feminism, that's a big part of it, and they get a lot of attention on there that feeds their ego. It becomes a monster. They crave that attention, and they get it on social media.
Well, and I mean, for me, like, the trashy aspect's mostly even coming from the companies itself, because, like, on Facebook, I feel like every other post is an ad. It's just, like, this ad for something I don't want, or just smut or filth, or it's just, like, you know, it's so annoying. And obviously they got everybody addicted to just looking at their news feed and scrolling and stuff like that, so then they could just slam us with a million ads. I mean, even YouTube, it's just, like,
I know, but how dude, many ads? Here's the thing, though. But here's the thing. So this is what I noticed. So I'm like, dude, I can't get into this right now because it's an ongoing sensitive situation. But, like, there's a like I've had like 3 hit articles written about me in the last, like, 24 hours, and it's almost like a void, right? To where, like, I feel like I've had every single thing in the world thrown at me or said about me that now I just, like, don't care anymore, right? So I'm kind of immune to the negative side of Twitter and YouTube and, you know, people making videos. Like, I don't even respond to people anymore. So on one aspect, you said, like, the negative side of things. I think if you're a public figure, you have to embrace the fact that, like, a good majority of people will believe lies about you. Right. And that they're, no matter what you do, because you're a public figure and there's slander laws, there will be a certain amount of lies that you'll never be able to remove legally that just – you just embrace it. Everyone's lied about. However, I think that's the main thing with social media isn't the ads. I think it's people's fragile egos. Because I noticed that a lot of people, like, I'll just, like, disagree with someone on Twitter. And they'll go, like, on a tirade against me with personal attack. Even some personal attacks based upon gossip or lies or different things. Like, where it's, like, literally so insane where you're going, how people have really fragile egos, right? And I think that there's an insecurity in a lot of humans because they're, you know, they're not living in their gender roles. They're not living with their identity in Christ. They're not living, you know, for self-improvement and bettering themselves, you know, according to what God has for them. They don't have families to find identity with. And so, like, a lot of people walk around with anxiety. And I really think that a lot of the world's anxiety is caused by social media. Like, I genuinely think that, and a lot of the lack of character development and the soullessness you see in people's eyes and that, like, emptiness when you meet a teenager now and there's nothing going on versus seeing a teenager in the 50s when they'd be interviewed and how they could communicate, is they're so wrapped up in what people think about them in a digital world, what their profile's like. I mean, it's gotten so crazy. There's a lot of teenagers that put nothing on their profile because it's considered cooler to have nothing. So you have – and they freak out about it because they can't comment on anything because they're not allowed to comment because they can only comment a couple times a year. And they have these, like, rules and stuff. And so I think it's this meta world digital space that's removed people from the real world. And, like, that's how I'm able to stay. They go, what do you mean you're impervious to attack? It's like, oh, some people on the internet are talking poorly about me and lying about me. Guess what? I can go walk to the grocery store and buy a ribeye and cook it in butter. Like, it doesn't, like, what, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what does that do to my life? Like, some,
yeah.
So the people that are chronically online don't, you know, are you know, tomorrow they'll get involved in hating somebody else because that's their right. Internet people. They just consume, like, they're like alcoholics where it's just get through the morning hangover so you can drink again, right? It's like
it's definitely
just
true.
Get through the next gossip to get onto the next gossip. And so, like, yeah, but I just leave it at there. That's why I think it's toxic for women to be on there particularly, because I don't think women should have. They do have fragile egos. They're emotional beings.
Yeah.
And the criticism.
Yeah, they're more sensitive.
The lack of likes. Yeah, it's too much to where how can you be caring about what your husband only thinks about you or your family and your in-laws and just your life, but now you're worried about what Stacy from ninth grade says about, you know, your couch? Like, I don't know. I just don't think that women are meant to have that level of connectedness.
Yeah, and how many of these comments are literally trolls? Or they're just liberals that work at Facebook that are hired to just post crap comments on high-profile, you know, accounts or just to attack conservatives or, you know, whatever. I mean, a lot of it's even fake, number one. Plus, people, you know, of course, if you hang out with someone, they're not going to say every single thing they think about you. But when you're on the internet, you'll say all kinds of just stupid things that you would never actually say in person. And, you know, it's very true that people can't seem to handle the heat. And I think that a lot of teenagers, a lot of young people, definitely, they are so wrapped up in their influence. They want to be an influencer and they don't really look at making real world connections and real world relationships. And unfortunately, most people aren't even saved, so they don't have that joy of the Lord. They're not necessarily have an inner peace, so it doesn't really matter what the world throws at you. But, you know, we've experienced that too, where, like, because we've had a couple of places where we were renting for our church and we got a lot of heat. And, you know, for us, it's just like another day in the park. We don't really care. We'll get 5,000, you know, voicemails saying they're going to murder all of us. And it's like, whatever. But, you know, our landlords or business associates, they can't handle that. Like, right. They've never experienced something like that before. And they don't realize that, you know, in 5 days from now, no one will call them. No one will care. It's all blown up. You know, it's just kind of like this quick heat and pressure, and they try to make people fold, but they don't realize that it's going to blow over so fast. And I think that it's important that our culture wakes up to the reality that if people don't always just cower every single time someone says something negative about you or puts pressure on you, they're going to lose their power. Like, there's this mob online that's had so much power for a while, and I think that we need people to wake up and realize, like, it's, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but online trolls can never hurt me.
No, I mean, yeah, but you're right. But I think this is where, like, I've lost 7 figures of income because of, like, pressure campaigns. I mean,
cancel culture is real.
Yeah, like I mean, I've had like a guest say a joke, and I lost $375,000 in 24 hours. Okay, so I've had things happen like that where it's it starts to hurt. Let's just say that. It just starts to hurt because, and I've lost seven figures for not backing down, but it always happens. Yeah. 'Cause they start calling and I'm going through something right now that I can't explain because I think I'm going to win. That is a similar situation. And that's why even now I don't even bring attention to details because I don't even want to add to their bullshit. Sorry right. for the curse word there, but I genuinely don't want to add to it, but I feel like that's where the book by D'Angelo, White Fragility, the problem is human fragility, because when your identity isn't in something, then you are weak. And that's why feminism's a lie, because when a woman's identity is in her job, she'll never be satisfied. So she makes her job like the home, starts getting too concerned with interpersonal relationships and gossip and HR complaints and this and that. And it creates this toxic work environment where everyone's not really friends anymore. There's no real workplace friendships and relationships. There's no community that you don't have workplace barbecues and everyone's together. Work is just this place where you're trying not to offend people. You don't want to get in trouble for your dick joke, or you know, or you looked at somebody wrong, right? You looked at a girl wrong and now you're being accused of rape or something. Like, I mean, this is really what it comes down to,
right?
You know, so much to the point that states have changed their laws that even if like you something happens and you text an employee outside of work and they don't like your joke, then you can get in trouble for sexual harassment in the workplace. And you'll probably be fired, actually, for just like texting someone a meme, right? I mean, I know many people have been fired over memes. I get emails every day. And it's on their record forever, right? They call, oh, yeah, I sexually harassed a woman. And it's like, what happened? Oh, he sent her a meme of, what's it called? Miss Piggy from the Muppets. And she had big boobs and it was inappropriate. And you're like, okay, is that really sexual harassment? I don't know. However, that's my point, is that women are out of their role. They're not in their identity. They're trying to live in a male identity. So they create destruction. And whenever we're out of our identity, men and women, we create a path of destruction. And that goes for men when we're living our lives out of order, when we're living our lives out of discipline. And I'm not lecturing men because I've gone through many seasons living outside of order. I'm still a man and there's parts of my life that are still out of order that need to be brought into subjugation. And where's the chaos in my life? It's in the areas where I'm not living in the order and discipline of male leadership, or I'm not in self-control, or these things that God has called me to. And where are women weak? Is when they're out in the world. They're vulnerable. They're subjugated to all these things. Do you know how women can end, rape? Be around male guardians. Don't be going out at clubs and drinking, like, you know, these crazy situations in these in these random places. You know how you can prevent physical violence on the street? Don't be jogging at 11 o'clock at night as a single woman in your 30s in your underwear. And you go, are you blaming the woman? Yes and no. I'm saying it's a shared responsibility of society, of men and women not living in their roles. And it's just never going to work out well. And if women are living in their homes, if they're finding their satisfaction in the work, I mean, in their families, in rearing kids, they're probably actually going to be the strongest women possible because they have a man protecting them. They have a value floor, their family and their foundation. And then they have a shield of Christ and a faith for their own personal lives, keeping them, you know, in their hearts secure, even when their husband fails them or their children fail them or their family lets them down, they're still going to be ultimately reliant on God. So it's like we remove that system and you have a bunch of weak, we have a bunch of weak people, right? Women acting like men acting like women. And you wonder why everyone's depressed, anxious, and nobody's happy and everyone's suing everyone. It's like, because they just, they're looking for money and, you know, the wrong things.
Well, there's definitely nothing feminine about feminism.
Right.
And I think that's the major theme of this ideology. It's a bunch of women acting like men.
Yeah, you would, like, it sounds good. Like, you would think, like, hey, let's make women more feminine, but then it's really just making them masculine. But they're never going to be a good at being a dude, just like dudes are never good at being girls. And, you know,
well, that's why the complementary aspect is so important. And you guys already touched on it, but the idea that God created men and women to complement each other, and they're not at all in competition whatsoever. A wife is a help meet. It's a harmonious relationship, actually.
Well, and you know, I even agree with the definition of patriarchy, that it's, you know, still supposed to be male authority, top down leadership. And of course, women do compliment men, but you know, we don't want to get so extreme to misidentify the fact that men are just literally different than women, and that women are not good at doing men things and men are not good at doing women things. And so we don't want to put women in men's roles. It's going to screw everything up. Obviously, men are going to be able to handle themselves a lot differently in a workplace environment when there's no women. It's just going to be much different. And I even remember one of my bosses said, he's like, I became a software developer because there's no women.
And he said that to you?
Yeah, he said that. He's like, he's like, I'm not interested in the neckbeard software guy, you know, like, and so, you know, and of course that's changed a little bit. I think there's more girls that have gotten into that industry in the last 10 years. Maybe,
by force, though, by design. Like, it's not because they just wanted to be in there. It's because they get massive scholarships.
Diversity.
And these companies diversity hire, and they don't even give them any real projects. Go watch TikTok coders. This is the only time I go to TikTok on Google. And go watch TikTok female coders. They don't do anything. I promise you this. They're just
there. I've worked in that industry.
Money.
Sure. I've been in that industry, and it was very evident why they were there. But
engineering too, by the way. I'm just saying engineering. I have a female friend. She at least admits it. She's like, dude, they pay me so much money and they give me no responsibility and they don't even trust my engineering. But like they'll never fire me and I'll just get raises. And I was like,
she'll probably get put into management. She'll probably get put into management because like they don't know what to do with them. And they don't want them to be the engineer, so they're just like, well, just don't screw up the emails and the, you know, whatever, the meetings and everything like that. But before I want to talk about something a little bit different. But before we do, I want to make sure everybody realizes we're going to be switching over to Rumble only here in a minute. That way we can say whatever we want. And we have a kind of a quick little game we want to play with Elijah here in a second. And so you want to make sure you switch over to our Rumble. The Baptist Bias. We're going to be kicking off YouTube because really they just kind of suck and they don't like us. So we're going to move over to Rumble here in a minute. But, you know, it's just kind of it's sad that men allowed feminism to come into being. And of course, you know, you brought up how they're not happy. There's an article we had from ABC. I think we can pull it up, but I mean, even just secular science in the world will tell you, well, this article says women are more likely to experience depression, anxiety, new CDC data shows. Of course, feminism is making great strides in the last 10 years for their ideology, but women are miserable because women innately want to be mothers and want to have children. And, you know, I don't even have to tell my daughters. But just even at the ages of 1, 2, 3, they all want baby dolls and they're carrying them around. And it's like they already want to be a mom at 1, 2, and 3. And of course, that just innate desire that God planted into their heart is so important to cultivate and to, you know, bring up. Whereas the public school system and college, they're not talking about being homemakers and the importance of being a mother. I think in times past, there were classes like that, but in today's schooling, you don't see that. I mean, when you went to school, was there anything like a homemaking class or like a home ec or something like that?
No, not that I recall at all, and especially not in college. There's like the opposite. There's, you know, how to be a whore, literally, like a whole event.
What does that even mean? Whore 101?
Like, yeah, it's like how to commit fornication the right way. Here's the...
Like a sex ed class or something? What are you saying?
Yeah, literally. Okay. There was a whole week-long expo. Here's how you be a whore. Here's the devices you can use
to get
pregnant.
Dude, it's called Rush. You mean Rush Week?
Oh,
is that like
man.
Rush?
Yeah.
Where you meet all the other whores and they train you? And
sorority.
You empowered.
Sorority house. Oh, man. That's crazy. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and just drop it off and go over to Rumble only. So if you're still on YouTube, you know, you got to get over there on Rumble. We'll check you out over there and keep the stream going. So YouTube, you can just go to hell.